Some serve him in vain, but we serve him.
Amen.
Serve
him. Yes.
Amen.
He's our praise.
Oh, what a mighty God we serve.
Back in January, Lord laid it on my heart to buy a piano.
piano, so I got a cheap keyboard.
Yeah.
And he led me to an app online called Virtual Piano Teacher. And I started taking lessons, so I got about 4 months under me.
Well, amen. All right.
About 2 years ago, I turned from the world and died to it, and I gave my all to him.
Amen.
And I told him to do with me what he will.
Right.
That I'm willing to be a vessel to do whatever for his glory. You know, I always seen the body in here all happy and joyful and running down the aisles and jumping in place. I said, where do I get some of that? Well, 2 years ago, I found out.
Amen.
And Satan fought me all day on this. He tried to talk me not coming. He told me I was stupid, I had a bad voice, and nobody wants to hear it. And I said, you know what I said to Satan?
Amen.
Because God wants to hear it, so I'm going to try. But anyway, you know, God loves me. And God's been dealing with me on that love. And, you know, I was in his mind before the foundation of the world. I can't be lost. You know, he's took me all the way back to Paul till now. We're the only people that can see everything.
Right.
He's whispered all of his secrets to us.
Oh,
and, you know, if that ain't love, you know, he told me I can't be lost. And then they've been preaching on serpent seed, which is nothing but love.
Right.
Some people look at it and say, well, that's punishment and sinful and God's mad? No. It's God's love. I can see God's love. I can see Jesus. I can see a lot of things in servants. So I'm going to give this a go. Our prize, drawing blank and redemption in his eyes. If his grace is an ocean, we're all sinking. Heaven meets earth like an unforeseen kiss, and my heart turns violently inside my chest. I have an
just an expression.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Who would want to give you all? Amen. Beautiful. I don't know what to say. That was lovely.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Wow.
That right.
Wow. Amen.
Amen.
Wow.
Oh.
Okay. Oh. Amen.
Amen.
Sing and go.
Yeah. Sorry. That was beautiful. Thank you. That was beautiful. Beautiful song. Oh, how he loves us.
Wow.
I'm gonna sing "I Love You, Lord." Page 43. Amen. Never know.
Oh, I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice just to worship you with all my soul. I rejoice, so take joy, my King, in what you hear. Let it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear.
We know this. Let's sing it. That's all he's asking, just to worship you.
Just to worship you with all my soul.
I rejoice, hallelujah. So take joy.
So take joy, my King, in what you sound in your ear.
Let's sing that one more time. Hallelujah.
Oh, I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice just to worship you with all my soul. I rejoice,
so take joy,
so take joy,
and what?
In what you hear. Let it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear.
Amen. You can be seated.
It's good to be here.
Appreciate that, brother. No, I know this church doesn't tolerate any excuses, but if there was a way to remove them all, that was it. That was a practical application of removing every single excuse. Not only did he testify, he did that on the way to sing a song on a piano that he just learned how to play. Now, as I'm no great musician, but I know that that's hard to do, and that takes some work before you got here. So that was pretty awesome to see. See him just give himself away like that. And what he was saying was just right along with what I was going to talk about as well, is how that story of serpency, I see love all the way through. You know, the rest of the people see a fall and see God probably didn't have something planned, but I see a true love story all the way through. That he took care of my good, bad, and indifferent. So it was great to see, and thank you, brother. Appreciate it. It's shaping even what I was thinking about, and that's why when Brother Don Dust said, I don't even know what to say after that, I thought, well, perfect, because I've got a little bit to say about it, and I'll just get started now. So it worked. It always works out. It always works out. So by way of announcements, because I got up, interrupted all that, but Sunday the 13th, Raven, thank you. Raven's birthday party is right after service, so they're going to have cake, ice cream, balloons. I don't know what they'll have back there. So we'll be able to do that. And then August 20th, right after church, we're having a cookout. So remember that. And I remember Pastor Moore as he's traveling. Keep him in your prayers as he's doing that. And remember Trevor and his brother-in-law, Max. So remember those things. And remember our elders here. Remember this body, local assembly. We do things and go through things. So just keep that in your mind. But I'll go ahead and get started. It's good to be here tonight. God is a good God, and he always loves us. And, Pastor Moore was preaching about the doctrine of serpent seed. And we were reinforcing it on Sunday night, the brothers and I. We were talking about how that's the very foundation of everything. You really understand the end when you understand the beginning. One of the things that I was thinking about when I thought about my further understanding of serpent seed is that, when you really understand serpent seed right, that's your way of showing your work. Not necessarily works out in the body, but I'm thinking about I always talk about my kids, but if I'm teaching my daughter a math problem and she just has answers on the paper, I don't know if she knows how to do it. I don't know if she knows what it took to get it. I don't know if she copied it. If somebody says I believe in whatever, serpent seed is how you show your work. This, when you understand serpent seed and you have that right, that's showing your work. That shows a full understanding of all the mysteries and the revelations that have been revealed. Because I was thinking about that, is that when you understand serpent seed, you really understand even the three realms when they were introduced. You understand when time was introduced. You understand how redemption story was introduced. You understand grace, how that was introduced. You understand predestination when you understand serpent seed. But it has to be that you understand that it was a sex act and that Satan's seed was introduced and that we weren't becoming by spoken word at that point. That's what that really is. So when I think about serpent seed and how I make it make sense to me, I'm thinking that's serpent seed is when Satan's seed was introduced into the program. Up until then, it hadn't mixed. He was just a subtle beast, but when he was introduced into the program, that had to be taken away. And the other thing about that, when I look at all these things, that shows a difference to me that when Satan started being introduced there, it showed that I can never trust anything that he has access to. Anything that Satan has access to, I can't trust it. Your flesh, he has access to. Your spirit realm, he has access to. But my soul, he has no access to it. But you don't understand that until you understand serpent seed. But if they made a statement, and I'll get started here, but they made a statement. They said, Pastor Moore and Brother Jeremiah was talking about how, people are turning away from the message because they can't live up to it anymore. Because they were trying to work themselves into heaven and realize that they will never live up to the code of rules and doctrines that they created. That's crazy. They created all these rules. They created all these ways of life and realized that they can't live up into it. And instead of accepting God's grace, they just have to walk away. They just have to give up the ghost. Not me. That's what makes me love this so much more. I realize that it was God's grace all the way through, whether I was bad, good, or indifferent, he always provided. Even when you think about the story in the Genesis, even no matter what the fall, the good, bad, when they walked out of there, God still had already slain the lamb before the foundation of the world. Before that happened, God had saw Jesus slain. Amen. Before that, he already had that happen. So that goes against all their thinking about free will, free moral agency, that they can mess something up. No matter what I do in my life, I cannot mess up God's perfect plan. No matter good, bad, anything, all those things, I can't mess it up. So I was reading about that, and literally when I was thinking about serpency is when work was introduced to us. When serpency came on the scene, work was introduced. You know, I'll read this scripture here over in Genesis, Genesis 3, and I'll start at verse 16. Unto the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. So childbirth was going to be hard. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children. Spoken word birth, that's no sorrow. You just say it. There's no work in that. And thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall have rule over thee. So leadership starts coming in. Role reversals. There's no more equals. No more equal. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree in which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. So prior to that, there was no sorrow. There was no work. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it was thou taken, for dust thou art, and dust thou shalt return. Serpent seed introduced work right there. That's what I think about when I come to here, and I come in here. Every time we have a service, it takes more and more work away from me. I realize that it wasn't anything that I had to do to get it, anything that I got to do to hold on to it. But the world wants more and more work. They want more and more works, and that's Satan's Eden. He wants you working your way up to heaven to a place you'll never get if you have an old soul. Just think about it. And Pastor even made a mention of something. He said, you know, had Cain presented the same sacrifice as Abel, he would have been okay. That just proves that no matter what, no matter how easy we think it is, if God does not have a seed inside of you, you can't do it. No matter if I gave you a step-by-step instruction, I can give you a page, letter, and verse, if you don't have a seed in you, there will be no place in you for the Word of God. That is why I rejoice, because whether I'm good, whether I'm bad, I only can say amen to every word of God. And it was nothing that I did, no smartness, no studying, no education gave it to me. Like Jesus said, flesh and blood did not reveal this to me. This is a revelation that I have. These things make so much sense. But I look at these things and I say, you know, we have a clear understanding on the realms. We have a clear understanding on what Satan was trying to do. You know, all these things do for me is make life on this side easier. You know, we were prefacing these messages, this series, with overcoming. You know, God has given us what we need to overcome by the Word. You know, in such a balance. You know, even when I was looking in, I was reading what Brother Branham was talking about, Satan's Eden. And in that, Brother Branham was talking about how the original sin, the only sin, really, was disbelief, is what he was referring to. He said, you know, you think it's adultery, you think it's, you know, the wine bibbers, you think it's people that are smoking, you think it's people that are drinking, you think that's what it is, but that's not the case. It's unbelief. In here, we understand the balance on that, because even in that same book, Brother Branham was talking about how no bob-haired woman will be in heaven, and there was the deceit in the church, and that the sexual act of a woman is so lustful that it could deceive you. But that was in the same message. But we get a balance in here that keeps us dressed right, dressed every time, that we don't go off on anything. We stay balanced on the entire Word of God, that we can see it, that none of those things are tied to my salvation. Whether you wear a dress, whether you cut your hair, whether you put on makeup, any of those things, they're not tied to my salvation. It's just part of Satan's Eden. Where is Satan's Eden? Where all he's trying to do is get you to not pay attention to the Word of God. That's how it was in the day of Noah. That's how it was in the day of Moses. That's how it was in the day of Jesus. That's how it is right now in the day of the Son of Man. All he is trying to do is get you not to believe every word of God. But as a believer, whether I live up to it or not, That's the part that gets me excited. As a believer, whether I live up to it or not, I still have to say amen. That's the difference. I don't try to make up some rules that I can't follow. I don't try to make it something that it's not. I say the word of God is right, and I'm wrong. That's even the zeal of the hour is to say that I'm wrong. I don't come in here with any creeds, any dogmas, any traditions, anything that I have that is contrary to the word of God. You have to drop it. That's where we come in here, and that's where we get a rest. That's why you're able to overcome this age, is because you've died to your own thinking and accepted every word of God.
Amen.
And I look at that and I say, why are we so different? Why are we resting when they're not resting? Why do we have peace when they don't have peace? It's because we know no man after the flesh. That's why when some people go to church, you know what happens? They start to know something about somebody. They'll start to learn that the pastor doesn't pay his taxes, or that they'll learn that a minister don't keep a job. They'll learn something, and that will be a hindrance on them accepting the word of God. I don't care if Deep Pennell turns off my lights because I never pay. That doesn't affect the word of God. It has no bearing, no emphasis at all. Now, I understand there's a balance. I understand that we expect you to be men of your word. I understand that said, oh, no, man, I've been taught better than that. But when it comes to the word of God, I don't care if you're black, white, yellow, blue, fat, or skinny. I just want the word. That's the difference. That's the difference. That's why I can say I can outlast you, because I'm not looking at your flesh. I know that anything that Satan has access to, I can't trust it anyway. How are we so strong in our revelation? Because we have a revelation that a man couldn't give you. What Brother Childers got, God told him, take your eyes off of every man. That means what we have is pure, unadulterated, perfect word of God. That's even the difference in the prophetic ministry that Brother Branham had. We understand that it had to go to God himself giving us this message. Otherwise, it would have been construed different ways. We would have been putting our emphasis on dresses. We'd have been putting our emphasis on hair. We'd have been putting our emphasis on all those other things that Brother Branham had wrong. He had those things wrong. That's why he had to change them. But we have everything right. You know, I look at all these things and I go, why are we able to continually progress? It's because we're still with God. Like, you know, like we sang that song, He Abides. You know, and then Sister Courtney was talking about how we changed the words, and it just struck me. I thought, we did. He's in me. He's in me. He lives in me. You know, I think of all these things, and I go, why are we able to look at that and it just makes sense? You know, we look at certain seed coming in, being introduced, it just makes sense that it was a sex act. Why does it make sense? Because all the doctrines have to dovetail. All of them have to dovetail. If you have it wrong on one of them, when it goes to tie back, it'll mess up. If you don't have the sex act being introduced, time being started, the redemption story happening there, you don't get to marriage and divorce. You don't get to predestination. You don't get to these things if that's not correct. It's all got to tie. You know, and that's, we look at all these things, and we're just blessed to be here. You know, we've mentioned that before, but it's, you know, Brother Jeremiah even said, I didn't learn this because I read it up. I learned this because I was taught this. I was taught right here the right way to look at things. I was taught right here the right way to judge things. I was taught right here the right way to balance things. And all this does is solidify the doctrine that we have. So I look at these things and I just say, praise God for giving us what we have. Because if we didn't have the doctrines right, we wouldn't know how to defeat Satan in all of his tricks. That's how we're able to do it. You know, I'm remiss when I think about how God has made it so simple for us that we can just pick it up. He never gives us more than we can handle. You know, even in the Bible, when you read through that story of Cain and Abel, even when he dismissed Cain, Cain said, I can't bear this. The load that you put on me is too much, when he kicked him out. God doesn't put more on me, though. More, he never puts more on me than I can bear. Regardless of what I've done, what I've said, what I've been through, he never puts more on me than I can bear. He loves me. And he loved me before the foundation of the world. And all these things, they tie. So I was looking at that, and I even thought about this. You know, and they were talking about this before. But Adam wasn't deceived. He wasn't deceived. Eve was deceived. And you look at that and you go, because you start thinking about all these things, you go, why can't I be deceived? It's not even possible. I can't even be deceived. You look at these things, the rest of the world sees this story and they think God messed up, that he slipped. I see redemption. I see that he's always protected me. I see eternal security. I see eternal salvation. I see these things clearer than anybody else can. And these things just go together. And even the book of Revelations, there go. I mean, I'm just looking at these things, and I go, you know, if you don't even, free moral agency is one of the last things I'll be talking about, is that free moral agency is that there's this idea that you can do whatever you want. That's an idea that you can do anything you want, and it'll just affect, maybe mess up God's thing, and you can do whatever you want to do. And they use that as like a scarecrow that if you really were God's seed, you wouldn't do these things. Yeah, but all it is tying back to works. It's tying back to a manufactured code of rules and doctrines that we can't live up to in our flesh. You can't live up to it. When you were born by sex, that put you out. I don't care how good you were from your day of birth, being born by sex makes you have to get a new birth. Period. That's the first qualifier. You came into the world speaking lies from your conception. Ye must be born again. But so when they think about free moral agency, they try to make it that you're whatever you do determines if you're God's seed or not. That's not entirely true. You're going to seed on something else. You're on a ditch right there, because whatever I do. Whatever. God saw the end before the beginning. He knows where I'm going to be. He knew what I was going to do, and he placed me. He positionally placed me. He knows my thoughts afar off before I even think it. There's nothing. Do you really believe that if it was God, omnipotent, all-knowing, that would be something that he didn't know? They, what I'm getting at, people, is that the more we make our God more powerful, the more they limit him. The more the world wants to limit him and put him in a box. Only, and even Brother Brandon was talking about how, you know, all they want is a God to marry, kiss babies, and bury the dead. That's literally what's happening now. The further and further along we go, the more the world only wants God in a box. But not us. I want God on my good days. I want God on my bad days. I know that he's with me, in me, ever present, always. There's not a moment I'm by myself. If I make my bed in hell, amen, yet will you be with me. The more I understand this thing, the more I see I'm not separated from God. The more I see myself through the Bible, the more I realize he never left me, and he never forsake me. He always was there. The more I see it, the more it just makes me think, why can't anybody else hear this? Why would you want to go through a world and struggle with unbelief when God has made it so easy? So easy. This stuff's not rocket science. To understand that a man had sex with a woman and had a baby, that's not rocket science. That's simple biology. But this world is so delusioned that they would rather Eve ate an apple to keep in line with all their other junk that you can't make sense of than just be plain common sense. That's God has always hid himself in simplicity. Even with Jesus' birth, Moses' birth, all the way through, God has always just hidden in simplicity, and from that, it has been hidden from the wise and the prudent. But blessed is our eyes. We can see. Blessed are our ears. We can hear. So when we come, in here and we see what God can do with any willing vessel, it should make me be that much more willing of a vessel. I see what He's done for me. I didn't even, when you start looking at that, you go, you know, I used to sing the song, you know, I love Jesus because He first loved me, and I didn't really understand it. I didn't understand that He first loved me before I got here. I didn't understand He loved me first before my parents' parents. I didn't understand that He loved me in the Garden of Eden. I didn't understand that He saw me when He was forming the worlds. I didn't understand that. How I interpreted the song was God first loved me after I got saved. That's really how I started to think about it, is that now that I've given my heart to Him, I can understand that He was just helping me to get here so that way we could really truly show our love. That's not how it worked. That's not how this story works out. You see it all the way through there, but you see in the book of Genesis that God has always, always, always loved me, always provided, always taken care, and always made sure that no matter what, I was going to get here. Whether I got here wrong, He took care of me. Yeah, that was that. What we used to say, permissive will of God. All these, whatever will you want to title it, He always wanted to make sure I got here. That's period. And I look at these things and I go, why? Why are we so different than the rest of the world? We have grace.
Amen.
True grace. Amen. True grace. We can come in here and understand that I need grace.
Right.
I don't even put a measure on it. I don't have a measure on it. I don't have a measure on the grace that I can give out because it's never been measured out for me. I've always been taken care of. You know, we used to say that saying, where there's breath, there's hope. You know, the thing we say. But God took care of me. When I take my last breath, He'll take care of me. When I took my first breath, He was taking care of me. He's always taking care of me. And I just, the more and more I see this, people, the more and more I understand it, that Satan never, never, never could touch me. Never. It was never an option that I was going to, it was never an option that I would be lost and not be able to get redeemed. It was, you know, all these things. And the other thing is, Pastor Moore was mentioning in the service as well, he was talking about how they're talking about restoration of the soul. That soul can't be restored. The soul can only do one thing. It can accept or reject the Word of God. Old soul can just reject the Word of God. The new soul can only accept it. You can't restore that. I can't make the old soul accept the Word of God. And vice versa, I can't make my new soul reject the Word of God. I look at that. You know, people get confused when they think that He restored the gifts, that He was restoring soul. No, you restore the gifts just to bring that back. But that soul, it's got to die. That's got to die. There's no ifs, ands, buts about it. There's no things. But why? Because it cannot have any access to that. Satan can't have any access to that. You got to have something that's pure, untouched. All these things. And I look at these things and I go, my goodness, we're just a blessed group of people. We are just a blessed group of people.
Amen.
So what what Brother Mike said, he said it right. He said, when I look at the book of Genesis, I see a love story all the way through. I see Adam loved Eve so much, he went with her. I see God loved me so much, He took care of me before any fall.
Amen.
I see the redemption story so clear that I see that I was never out of His hands. That when Satan started manufacturing things and started manufacturing things, laws, rules, rituals, how to do these things, how to get knowledge, that God knew it all from the beginning. God knew what He was doing this whole time. All it does is expound the plan of God to me, and I look at it and I go, He's been taking care of me this whole time. All the way through. So I look at all these things, people, and I'm just blessed that there's a group of people that understands what God has been doing. That's what a revelation is.
Right.
It's a clear understanding. I clearly understand what God was doing.
Amen.
That's a revelation. Satan, you can't take that away from me.
Amen.
I understand what God was doing. It's been made plain to me. That's a revelation. It's not whether I speak in tongues. That's not a revelation. That is no indication at all that you fully understand what's going on. None. Speaking in tongues, singing a song, even testifying is no indication. You got to have a clear understanding.
Amen.
You have to have a clear understanding of what God is doing right now, and that's the revelation. That's what I wanted to say. God bless you, Brother Jeremiah.
You know, I was thinking, you read the scripture there. My wife and I were talking about it too earlier this week, is Brother Moore preached on it. There really was a time, and you know, it's hard for us to grasp, that Adam and Eve didn't realize they were even naked. You know, there was a time when Adam could walk right next to a lion, talk to it, pet it. He named it, you know, for that matter. And the lion and the lamb actually lay down together. There was a time that they lived in peace. They would never die. And yet then the sex act and the fall in the garden happened, and there's the curse came into play. Started eating the cursed earth. So you could start dying. They lost that. And, you know, you bring out a good point where before Adam really wasn't going to be working by the sweat of his brow to get food. He's going to start having to work for his food now. You know, Adam might have even go out and enjoy working, to just enjoy doing something, but the whole idea just changed. He had to actually go work to live. And before, he wasn't working to live. And you know, and even up here now, to make the point clear, spiritually, I'm in a Garden of Eden condition, because that's where God wanted to get us back to. I'm in peace. I realize I don't have to work to get eternal life. I'm signed, sealed, and delivered. Adam would walk in the cool day and fellowship with God. I fellowship with God. I talk to God face to face. And when they left that condition, they got in a fallen state. And so naturally back there, they realized they need to put clothes on. And sex got introduced. And we all know what comes with that. And, you know, all the things. And so it really is something. But even in the natural, we're going back. There's going to be another time where the lion and the lamb will lay down together again, and we'll live forever. And we won't have to work by the sweat of our brow to live forever. You know, so that's coming. And then you said another thing there that I thought I would even talk about too is Adam was not deceived. You know, that's true. And, you know, just to tie into with what we've been talking about with serpent seed, Brother Branham said what it was is Adam was in the original creation. When God went to go create, Adam was right there. Let us make man in our image. And he was part of that seven-day creation. And see, and before I go to the next part, let me say this. God being all omnipotent, omniscient, all-knowing, knew what was going to happen. He's a just God. On one side of the coin, he's the one, as we preach, that created everything the way that it happened. He plumbed Adam and Eve so all that could happen. On that side of the coin, God exactly knew everything was going to happen. And to act like it's this big mess, you can't. Because it helped him manifest his attributes. But God being just, he wasn't going to be the one that forced the fall. He wasn't going to be the one that made you go to another direction. So what he did is he had a byproduct. Eve wasn't part of the original creation. She was after the original creation. She came out of Adam, and she was a byproduct, and that is why she could fall. And that is important because God is perfect, and his creation is perfect. And so it's God just being so perfect and seeing all things. He said, for this thing to connect and tie, and for me to remain perfect, it will have to be a byproduct that even falls. Because my creation's perfect. It can't fall, so it'll have to be a byproduct of it to even cause the fall. And that's why Eve was the one that was able to go out and even go and doubt and reason with the Word of God and partake of the tree of the knowledge of a good and evil, in which God told him not to do. And she actually had an act with the serpent. And so what happened, and this is in 2017, people don't like this, but we're going to say it anyhow. That what it showed is it made the woman a weaker vessel. So God said, "Your man will have rule over you." Now we know that man doesn't make a woman a doormat. We know it's a relationship of love, on and on and on, helpmate, etc. But the man is still over the woman today. Because even today, there's two different covenants there. It was not the man that fell, it was the woman that fell. And she's got, if we were being honest and just was honest with ourselves, women typically are more emotional, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Right. But that man's over that woman.
Right.
He sets the final decision. On and on and on. That's because of the fall.
Right.
That woman's not to preach. There's a lot of things that connect to that.
Right.
But that's still true today. Right. But the main point I wanted to make was it was a byproduct that could even walk out and doubt the word of God, Roachos. Because God's original creation couldn't. Adam knew what he was doing. In one sense of the word, Adam could have said, I'm not walking out with her. But you're exactly right, Brother Mike. Love. He loved his wife. And love drove him to say, I want her no matter what. And that's real love. And that's the other side of that coin, is man should treat his wife like his own body and love her. Because that's what Adam did. But Adam couldn't fall. He wasn't deceived. Even when he went out and partook of the same tree, he knew what he was doing, and he was doing it out of love. And that is why even you talk about free moral agency, you're absolutely right. There's nothing that we're going to do that's going to ruin God's plan. He knows that we're going to start an A and get the B. There's nothing we're going to do to stop the rapture from happening on the time it's going to happen. But God put the human race on free moral agency because he's just. He's not the one that's going to make the bad decision. You're going to be the one that makes the bad decision. God is perfect. Man's words are lies. So he does use that free moral agency so that he can remain just, remain perfect, remain the person that doesn't change his mind. Because God doesn't change his mind. Human beings change their mind. And so that's how that stuff works. Brother James, I enjoyed it. I'm glad I'm up here not working. Spiritually, I'm not working to try to get to heaven. I fellowship with God. I'm at peace. I'm at rest in my revelation. I know who I am, and I can't be deceived. That is so true. I'm like that. I can't be deceived. I got a new soul. I am God's creation. I'm a new creation standing right before you right now, a perfect, spotless, born again by the spoken word of God, Son of God. That in that realm cannot be deceived, Brother Dustin. Can't be deceived. And it's true up here today. And I'm thankful for it.
Amen.
But I'm glad we can see it because God's perfect.
Amen.
His original creation can't fall.
Amen.
And it's good to know that because that means I can't fall up here because I got something on the inside of me that's created by God.
Amen.
And it won't fall.
Right.
Eve, the first Eve, was ordained to fall. And that's where on the other side of the coin, God plundered that way.
Right.
He knew what he was doing.
Right.
It was going to help him manifest all of his attributes. He was going to get from A to B and be a savior, be a healer, be all these things, have a redemption story. But in order to still remain perfect and spotless, and so that you could see it, it was a byproduct that fell. Amen. Come on, musicians. Trevor in your prayers, and remember Brother Moore's brother-in-law, he's gone and he's helping them this evening. Brother Max, remember him in your prayer. And I know James made some announcements, but those that are coming to the picnic on the 20th, you know, at least we'll help try to organize the sides. If you don't mind reaching out to her, letting her know that you're coming so she can give you a task, because I tasked her, said if they don't reach out to you by early next week, I'm going to have you reach out to them. So if you think you're coming, please reach out to her so that she can keep that organized, all right? Enjoyed it.
Amen.
And let's sing Can't You See Why I'm Happy.
Amen.
Amen.